Welcome, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on this edition, we'd like to do that with you. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection, and I think that's one of the key elements of the story. I mean, it is the key element of the story. Everything in Christianity hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, but it's the hardest part of the story for us to really believe. That's why Paul said, as far as faith is concerned, we must confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what faith is. So our faith, to have substance, to have meaning, to have value, has to be connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see throughout the pages of the four Gospels, and even through the book of Acts, that this point was very difficult for people to embrace. We see that with the disciples, when Jesus said to them very clearly that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be handed over, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, yet on the third day he was going to be raised back to life, they couldn't believe him. Mm-hmm. Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "No, Lord, this will never happen to you." I don't think he ever got to that, you know, on the third day he's going to be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe that Jesus was going to die, that he was going to suffer at the hands of religious leaders. We see, you know, in the resurrection story itself, the day that Jesus was raised, early that morning when the women went to the tomb, they were shocked that the tomb was empty. And their first conclusion wasn't that he had been raised, just as he said. They were thinking somebody had stolen the body. And even the disciples, until they saw the risen Lord, they were still in unbelief. Mm-hmm. at that moment. So it's a very difficult reality for us to embrace, but it's something that we need to embrace. And here's what Paul had to say in his defense of his life and the gospel before King Agrippa and his wife Bernice. He's standing and telling about his manner of life. And then he comes to this point and says, "And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead?" Why do you think that that's incredible, that God could raise the dead? Because that's what he does. He gives life to the dead. He gave life to us through creation, mm-hmm. and he can certainly give life to us through new creation. And that's the story. And all of that hinges on the resurrection. If Jesus Christ had not been raised, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. There's no life for us to have apart from this earthly life that we experience here and now. And once we die, then that's the end of the story. But resurrection moves us beyond the grave and tells us there's a story that goes well beyond, that's eternal in nature. So we have to come to grips with the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that God can and does raise us from the dead spiritually. Otherwise, we're never going to fully embrace what this Christian faith is all about. Now, resurrection was something that was a part of Judaism. They believed that there was going to be a day of resurrection when everybody was going to be called out of the graves and would stand before God in judgment. They believed that was going to happen. We saw that with Martha and Mary. They certainly believed that. The Pharisees believed that. But there was another group that didn't believe that.
Right.
They were the Sadducees. And here's what we learn about the Sadducees. For the Sadducees, and this is Acts chapter 23, verse 8, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit. So they didn't believe in anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, folks like that exist today.
Yeah.
There are people that don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe that there is a spiritual reality out there. It's known as naturalism, philosophical naturalism. And what is that? Well, it's a viewpoint to which everything arises from natural properties and causes, and supernatural or spiritual explanations are excluded or discounted. So, you know, there's a lot of spiritual people, there's a lot of religious people that hold the Bible in high esteem, but they only hold certain parts of the Bible in high esteem. So they've basically gone through and redacted all of the miracles, all of the information about the supernatural, and they've just brought it down to a human, natural, or materialistic book. Well, they're just like the Sadducees.
Yes.
Well, then for them, Christianity is nothing more than a rule book, a guide for living. It's just like any other philosophy out there. But we have to realize that there is a spiritual reality, that God is spirit, that we must worship him in spirit and truth, and that God did raise Jesus from the dead, and that through faith in him, he raises us from the dead spiritually so that we can walk in the newness of life. So is there any reason for us to doubt that God can raise people from the dead? Absolutely not. No. That's exactly what God does. He gives life to those who need it, and that's all of us. And he gives that life to us through Jesus Christ, and his life is an indestructible life.
And that's the good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. You know, we need your support to continue to keep the good news coming every day. And to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel in the month of March, we want to send you our new CD series called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. It's by Bob Christopher. You know, all of Christianity rests on the veracity of the resurrection. And as you listen through this CD series, you'll discover that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is there for you to instill hope and anchor your soul to the love of God. If you can, please help today with a gift, and we'll send you a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or give by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Just click that donate tab, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we heard from Peggy in North Carolina. Let's listen to her call right now.
Hi, Bob. My name is Peggy, and I've called several times before. And I thank God for y'all. And I know in the Bible that, you know, it says, God's word says, for two or more gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. I know this is not a prayer line, I guess, you know, but I do want you to pray for me because I have been sick for 7 weeks and back and forth to the doctor trying to get better. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just asking for people to pray for me that God's will be done in my life and help me through whatever needs to be done. I love y'all to death. I thank God for you and everything y'all do and what y'all represent, because we serve a living God. Thank you.
And I think we all have sympathy for Peggy and whatever she's going through.
Yes, because we all go through similar things, don't we? And prayer is one of those realities that God has given to us that we can actually pray to him. And that really gets back to exactly what we were just talking about. God is spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth. And one of the ways that we do that is prayer. Now, if we're like the Sadducees and we don't believe in resurrection nor angels nor spirits, then prayer is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the fact that God does exist, that he is spirit, and that he has shown us his love in the person of Jesus Christ, that is the invitation to pray. And so right now we're going to pray for Peggy, and we're going to pray for anybody out there that is in pain or hurting or has spiritual needs and needs to find answers in the person of Jesus Christ. That's our privilege as Christians. So let's just spend a few moments in prayer for Peggy and for anyone else. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in boldness and in confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can enter into the throne of grace, knowing that we're going to receive grace and find mercy in our time of need. And right now we lift up our sister Peggy, who has been sick for the last 7 weeks. And along with her, I know there's many others out there listening to Basic Gospel right now who are in pain, who are hurting, and just need to know that God is there to comfort them, to just envelop them with his love, his grace, and his mercy. And so we lift those people up as well. And Lord, we know that through your Spirit, that you will guard their hearts and minds, that you will give them the comfort and the peace that they need. And we also know that you are the great physician. So we entrust them into your hands. We also pray for those out there who may have spiritual needs, who are looking for answers. And we pray that today, by your Holy Spirit, that you will open up their eyes and their ears to the person and work of Jesus Christ and move them to receive him as their very life. And we pray these things in Christ's matchless name. Amen.
Peggy, thank you for sharing that request with us, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Well, again, 844-322-2742, that's the number to dial. If you have a question, we'd like to address it on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Let's go hear from Mark, who has a question for us on the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name's Mark. I have a question for you. I understand God. I understand Jesus giving his life for us on the cross and our sins. But I'm not real sure about the Holy Spirit. It was my thought that the Holy Spirit is what is put into us after we have committed our life to Christ, and that it was kind of our moral compass, and that Spirit was with us 24/7 and within us 24/7. My question would be, do we pray to also the Holy Spirit, or is it just God and Jesus Christ? How do I go about understanding that? If you could give me a little answer on that, I'd appreciate it very much. Thank you. God bless.
Oh, that's a great question from Mark, and he has a lot right about the Holy Spirit. There's some things that seem a little bit off in his question there as far as his understanding. You know, the Holy Spirit is certainly more than a moral compass. He's part of the Trinity.
Yes.
He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. He is not God the Father, nor is he God the Son, but he is a part of that Trinity that makes up the one being that we know of as God. So, Richard, explain a little bit of the work of God's Spirit in our life. I know he takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. So
yes,
he's not trying to direct attention to himself. So what is his role in his life, and how do we relate and respond to him? As Mark says, even in prayer, do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Can we pray to the Holy Spirit? Is it okay? So Richard, take it away.
On the spot.
Uh-oh. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, as the third part of the Godhead, is the part of God that lives inside of us. And as a child of God, having the Holy Spirit, the first thing you need to know is he is the deposit guaranteeing our future. So he is the one who convinces us that we have eternal life. And as Jesus himself described in parts of John 15 and John 16, the Spirit exists to help us understand who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us and what that means in our everyday lives. Paul tells us in Titus that the Holy Spirit, grace, if you want to call it that, he uses the word grace, but grace represents a being, not a thing. Grace is what teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live this the kind of life that we want to live in Christ. So in that sense, he is kind of like a moral compass, but far more than that.
Yeah.
Because it's a personal dialogue that's going on. The Spirit is the one who renews our minds, teaching us how to think and how to choose and literally how to behave as we allow the love of God to infuse every part of us and overflow us to other people. The Spirit is this part of us that really tells us that we're alive now. We lost the Holy Spirit when Adam and Eve sinned. When they rebelled, they said, we're going to go on our own. And God said, okay, if you can be God, be God. But I'm telling you now, you can't be God. And they learned the hard way that they couldn't be God. And we were born that way, born lost, born dead. I like to describe it as stillborn. You know, here we were, a fully formed human being that can do nothing.
And spiritually.
Spiritually.
Yes.
And in Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. We're now alive in him. We're now completely infused by the life of Christ, and the Spirit makes all of this possible. It is, to me, it's true, but words fail, because if you think about who God is and how perfect God is and all of that, how in the world could he take up residence in me, and how could he do so without destroying me? And in fact, he does so and doesn't destroy me, but actually makes me alive for the first time in my life. The Spirit makes all of that possible, and he is the power of God in each of us, allowing us to live this life of faith. It's amazing.
Yes, indeed. And the fact that he's a part of the Trinity,
yeah,
we're made in the image of God. So we're made in the image of that Trinity. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a personal touch, you know, with God toward us.
Yeah.
It talks about Peter or Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
There's verses in there that talks about it, you know, we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and those sort of things. So we see a personal nature to the yeah. Holy Spirit. He's not just a force. He's not just a moral compass. So can we pray to the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
The answer is absolutely yes. You know, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. The Holy Spirit teaches us about the love of Christ, the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ, and gives us an experience of that love, a heartfelt response to that love, so that we can live it out in our day-to-day lives. And so when the Holy Spirit is doing that in your life, you say, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for yes. teaching me about the love of Christ. And so we have to realize, you know, if I'm praying to Jesus, I'm praying to the entire Godhead.
Yes.
If I'm praying to the Holy Spirit, I'm praying to the entire Godhead. If I'm praying to God the Father, I'm praying to the entire Godhead. They are one in being, mm-hmm. but three in person. And that's hard for us to understand, but that's the makeup of the Trinity. So, Mark, if you want to pray to the Holy Spirit,
Do so.
To the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
That is A-OK. But recognize that you have the fullness of God in the person of the Holy Spirit living in you. And
yeah.
that makes you complete in Jesus Christ. You need nothing. You have been given everything you need for life and godliness through this gift of the Holy Spirit.
Indeed, and we're grateful, of course, to have the off-hour system in place for our listeners who can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, and so we appreciate hearing from Peggy and from Mark and from others who call each and every day to make that a reality. Friends, we want to invite you to join the live Basic Gospel video stream every day on either Facebook or YouTube. Come on in, see what goes on inside the studio. We would love for you to join us. Right now, we're going to get hear a question from Paco, who used the off-hour system.
Hello, brother. My name is Paco. I'm calling from Central Texas. I'm a little angry and frustrated regarding the doctrine of the rapture. It's getting so many attacks and so many heretical attacks. When I go to church and it's diluted, I wish that the history of the church where it were taught in its fullness, it just the basic doctrines. And just to use parallels and to say it is Jesus who is coming for his church, you know, just use chronology, but other people, they just mess things up, and it doesn't edify. It creates speculation. And I was wondering if you guys could explain the rapture in its chronological and historical context. Thank you for taking my call. You have a nice day.
In 25 words or less, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to be raptured out of here.
Absolutely.
And the question and the arguments and the debate has been when. It's the chronology. And, you know, some folks believe there's a pre-trib rapture. So that's going to be kind of the first domino that falls. And then there's the 7 years of tribulation. And then there's the return of Christ. And so that's one way to look at end times. That's the dispensational view, the futurist view, and that's been popularized over the last 30 years through the Left Behind series, and really has found its way as into the conscience of the church today. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we believe. But a lot of what's been spelled out there is really sketchy as far as how it's going to unfold. We really don't know. So, you know, you can say here's how it's going to be unfolding, and you can be dogmatic about that. Well, when you are, you've just created a point of division. What the Bible teaches is the Lord is coming back, and he is going to snatch us out of this world. For those who have died in Christ, they're going to go first. They're going to be with the Lord. For those who are still here when the Lord comes back, we're going to go up to meet him. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're all going to be with the Lord together. So that's what we know. So that's the point that we need to find unity on. If you want to speculate about how that's going to happen, that's fine. But tell people you're speculating because you don't really know. And like I said, like Paco said, there's a lot of division out there.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
It is not necessary. I mean, Christ came. He died just as he said. He was buried just as he said. He was raised on the third day just as he said. He ascended and to the right hand of God the Father just as he said. So we know all of that happened. And through faith in that story, then we are made a part of the story. We receive new life in him. Our sins are forgiven. We are marked out as God's possession forever. And then the rest of the story is that he's going to come back and he's going to take us to be where he is. And then we're all going to dwell on this earth together in the New Jerusalem. He's also going to come back and in judgment against those who refused life that he had offered. So that's the story. Yeah. So let's find unity on that story. We can look forward to the return of Christ, knowing that he's coming for us and that we're going to be with him forever. That's our great hope. That's what this gospel message is all about. So let's hang out together on that point. And that will bring us together in unity. So we have to realize there's a lot of speculation about the end times. That's going to continue until the Lord comes back. Let's stick to what the Word of God has to say. Anytime we go outside of the Word of God and try to add to the story that's been told there, that's where we get so messed up, and that's where a lot of that anger can come from. Yeah. So stick to the story. The story will unify us, and we will rejoice together about our future in Christ.
Absolutely. I want to remind you, friends, that we're going through a wonderful series through the book of Hebrews every Friday on Basic Gospel, and we hope that you will take advantage of this particular study. It's very encouraging and just a dynamic study. And if you have missed any of the sessions, you can find them, find the archive under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. That's basicgospel.net. Click that radio drop-down menu, and you'll find it at the first item there, the radio archive. And so Hebrews on Friday, it's a wonderful, wonderful study. Please remember, friends, that Basic Gospel needs your gift, your support this month. Only through your gifts are we able to be here every weekday with this incredibly good news of the love and grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's messages on CD, a CD series that's all about the power of the resurrection. Power that is made manifest in the lives of everyone who belong to Jesus. To make your gift and receive your copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for a live edition of Basic Gospel right here on this very station. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.